Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Beach Balloon.
Boo! And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. You know what's not classy?
You know what's sad about this? You thought about that ahead of time.
No, I literally, like, as soon as you, I was like, I need to, because otherwise I would have said the correct thing, which is beach ball. But my dumb brain just said beach balloon. That tells you that I didn't think of it ahead of time. Yeah, who thought that with everything going on in Brooklyn this weekend with WWE, that the number one topic online, everywhere, was freaking beach balls. Again.
Yeah, I guess.
You think, okay. Because, you know, clearly this, it speaks to a bigger thing with, you know, fans, quote unquote, taking over the show, you know?
Yeah.
And basically entertaining themselves during a live event. Do you think that it got to the level that it did because of Cesaro going out in the crowd and ripping one up?
Yes. Not a doubt in my mind.
Okay, so that just elevated things.
Not saying he shouldn't have.
No, honestly, like...
Like, I'm not saying, like, you poked the bear, you antagonized him.
And it made for one of, like, the memorable moments of the night.
Yeah.
That we were all like, all right, he's a face in my book, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, that went on to beach balls getting thrown around on Monday Night Raw several times. And then that sparked a big argument, debate all over the internet, which led to people just running to their nearest stores on the way to the Barclays Center to get all the beach balls that they could for SmackDown. And then most of them getting, most people getting kicked out or getting those beach balls taken away. Yep. And now WWE has officially banned beach balls from any of their shows.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to go full on grumpy old man and be like, okay, it's one thing for you to go to a show and expect to be entertained and then they fail you on that.
Yes.
And then you take over, and because that's what we saw with the very first, you know,
Raw after Mania.
Mania
event.
Right. Like 2012, I think it was.
It is after 29.
So, it was 2013.
After Fandango's debut.
Yeah. Right. So, there's one thing, okay? It's another thing to, before the event, buy these beach balls, knowing that you're going to get bored at some point. Knowing that you're expecting Raw to fail you. And so you're going to have to try to entertain yourself. / get yourself over.
I am okay in theory.
Okay.
Where, you know what? I've been to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like, I'm not going to like everything on here.
Sure.
And I've been like, I'm going to boo this thing that they would like me to cheer, or I'm not, at the very least, I'm not going to cheer this thing. I'm, you know, I might sit down, do whatever. I'm going to see this. I'm going to be bored. I'm not going to like it.
Right.
So I am actually okay with the having seen enough wrestling, having been through it enough to know, like, I'm going to hate this part. Today is my chance. Now is my chance.
Mm-hmm.
I am not one of millions of voices online shouting into the, you know, hurricane
right.
of opinions that won't affect anything.
Yeah.
But I am now one of merely a couple thousand who will be on TV, who has a greater effect. This is my chance. This is my moment.
Right.
I am okay with all of that. And if the way you choose to express that is in beach ball form, I am okay with that.
Okay.
The issue comes with is your way of expressing your boredom interfering somebody else who has paid for a ticket.
Right.
And I think beach balls have crossed that line.
Yeah.
One beach ball bouncing around during one match at SummerSlam, I don't mind somebody doing that. I don't mind Cesaro ripping it up. I don't mind if a fan ripped it up. I'm like, oh, it wasn't your beach ball to rip. No.
Right.
Like, if you bring a beach ball to a wrestling event,
you run that risk.
You yes.
Yeah.
You're putting the beach ball's life on the line, and you should be
aware
of
that. You're literally putting it in other people's hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, but going out buying them, knowing that, and you should be aware enough to know that
you're doing it because I and from what I understood from a lot of people who went out and bought all of them before SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
they were doing it because they knew they were going to piss certain people off,
right?
And other fans, WWE, whoever it may be.
And if you genuinely could make me believe that you had a thoughtful plan where you're like, I am buying these beach balls to bring them out when, like, let's say when Jinder Mahal is cutting a promo, I will be playing with a beach ball to show my disdain and my distaste for that's a perfectly fine way, I think, to not boo, because that's what they want you to do.
Right.
And so, like, and then you can be like, it's a visual thing on a visual medium of television. Mm-hmm. So, like, this beach ball bouncing behind him shows a visual disinterest.
Yeah.
That booing, you know, if you were so organized to, like, let's all stand up and turn around.
Yeah. And from what I understand, like, a lot of them, especially on Monday Night Raw, had did that specifically waiting for Cesaro to come out for that moment because he ripped the one up the night before.
Right.
But then they showed that he was only going to be in a backstage segment, not actually in the ring. Then they, you know, just kind of did whatever.
Right.
You know.
And again, if you could make me believe you have a coherent protesting point.
Right.
Then, you know what?
And I
would be fine, and I would be in the camp of, you paid your money for your ticket, you get to be entertained in that building for that period of time. You've paid for that, right? But I don't think that's what happened.
I think it's fans that were just, again, trying to get themselves over. And again, I would even be okay with it if they just done it during the main event of Raw, because we're all tired of a tag team that means nothing main event on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it was. It just throw all these people together and put it on the main event. I'd understand that. But then, but that wasn't the first time.
See, and I would take issue with that, because for better or worse, that has something different with Cena being on Raw for the first time in a year.
Right.
And so that puts Cena in a match with people he hadn't been in.
Sure.
That doesn't feel repetitive to me. That doesn't, and I don't know, because
I'm just the concept of just
if you want to protest
a
tag team main event
with no consequence, no real point for anything.
That's all. Yeah, but that's a lot to protest with a beach ball.
Sure. And on the flip side of that, you know, that's almost giving them too much credit, because when they first showed up was during Finn Balor's match, which, yes, of course, it's weird because it seems like Finn Balor, almost universally among all the fans, were like, we want to see better for him. We want to see better things for him. So we don't like that you put him in another nothing match against.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who.
And this is a sentence I didn't feel like I would ever say in my life, but you have to know the limitations of a beach ball.
Right.
And you can, this, like,
right.
As a protesting tool, it only works so well.
But
the thing is,
that's looking too far into it. But what it really shows is, like, it comes across as, oh, these fans are bored with Finn Balor, which we know that's probably not the case.
Right.
And that's, I feel like that's why it's more indicative that these people are just wanting to be seen. They wanting to get noticed. Mm-hmm. Look at our beach ball. Look how whack and crazy we are, because we're trying to outcrowd the last big crowd. You know, that's when it feels like that's when I feel like a grumpy old man. And I'm like, I don't want to feel this way. I want to be of the mindset of, yes, these fans paid good money for their tickets. They can cheer and entertain themselves in whatever legal way that they can, in their seats or standing up or in their area, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I see stuff like that, and I'm like, these are probably the same people who've been complaining that they want more Finn Balor in a more, you know, significant role.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like you're bored of him.
Yeah.
That's not, that's, that doesn't help.
I mean, and that's, you know, when it came out at SummerSlam and in a Sheamus Cesaro Seth Dean match, I don't know what you're protesting. You're protesting whether you want to or not. Whether you are protesting something in the ring or you're protesting because it, the form of the protest takes is fun.
Right.
Like, you are.
Right.
And so there's nothing there.
Either way, a message is being sent.
Yes. That match, to me at least, is four people working very hard to put on an impressive, memorable match.
Mm-hmm.
And tell an enjoyable, coherent storyline.
And that's the thing, like...
And again, somebody who has hung his hat in the wrestling commentary world on hating Sheamus.
Yeah.
I'm still saying, like, he's doing his job there, and he's working hard there, and I don't have any complaints with what he is doing or how he is doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm alone in that feeling now. With him, with Cesaro.
Right, no, absolutely. And again, it comes back to, those tickets were not cheap.
Yeah.
So you paid good money. Because you're a wrestling fan, going to a wrestling show, doesn't matter what company it is, you're paying, as a wrestling fan, for a wrestling show, and you're telling me you'd rather play with a beach ball. Like, that's the disconnect for me, you know?
Yeah.
With a lot of this, like, I don't understand the point you're trying to make,
and you know what, and at that point,
or you're just, you know, some
at that point, if I don't
mindless doofus,
if I don't understand the point you're trying to make, then you're making no point.
Yeah.
If, like, because again, if this was Roman Reigns, if Roman Reigns came out and the beach balls came out, you would have this gorgeous visual metaphor for thoughts and feelings on Roman. You know, you would have beach ball go up in the air, so it immediately is associated with, this is better than this guy.
Right.
I would rather spend my hard-earned money to sit in this stadium bouncing this beach ball.
I will say this, by the end of Monday, like Monday night after Raw had finished, after Raw had gone off the air, I was ready to be like, you know what, after beach ball, I'm the biggest Roman Reigns fan now, just in spite of you guys. You know, like, it. I've since cooled down. SmackDown helps. SmackDown, obviously, heals most wounds.
Yeah.
Because it's that good of a show. I don't know. I don't understand. Maybe Cesaro didn't help things, but then again, what else are you supposed to do? And we applauded him for doing that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most wrestlers, by and large, kind of try to do what Cena does, which is just acknowledge it. Goes, go ahead and, you know.
Well, there is a long-standing, not tradition, but, like, it's well accepted that a wrestler may interact with your sign up to destroying it.
Sure,
like, oh, you worked hard on that sign,
too
cheering
bad. Yeah.
A face in front of a heel. The heel will tear it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like, that's accepted. That's a standard thing to happen. So, like, Cesaro going out into the crowd wasn't breaking the fourth wall.
No, and it was a take on, you know, that heel move of ripping a sign up, you know, essentially.
So
it also felt really cathartic for me. So now beach balls are banned. So I think I don't know what the terminology exactly was, but I think it was more of like, you know, swimming accessories kind of.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so floaties aren't allowed now?
But I will say, we have a ton of actual wrestling to get to this week.
But stupidly enough, had to address the beach ball in the room.
Chris's
okay.
Had to get his beach ball out.
I was trying to go ahead and get it out the way.
I was going to go in chronological order.
I go with the bigger elephant in the room, which apparently this week is the dumb beach ball.
All right,
so...
Asuka loses her title, and you're focused on the beach ball. Like, there's bigger elephants in the room.
I mean, the beach ball is a bigger, It's more of a...
I think it's just further up in your crawl.
Maybe. Well, the Asuka thing is very recent, so I haven't really processed it yet. So, also, the beach ball is indicative of a larger wrestling fan mindset that's been growing over the last 4 years.
All right.
So, it's a culture thing, you jerk.
All right.
So, TakeOver.
TakeOver happened.
TakeOver happened. No balloon or no balls, no beach balls or anything. Go figure.
Yes, that's the thing to take away from this. Look at the lack of beach balls.
I will say it was probably also indicative of being in the same building 4 nights in a row.
Yes.
And a lot of those fans were probably repeat fans for most of those events.
Yes, they were.
So, after a while, dumb things happen with dumb people who have been in the same dumb place for 4 days.
Yes.
It happens. But anyway, TakeOver. Started off with Gargano versus Andrade.
Yes, which I thought was an incredibly solid match.
My only critique is Andrade came in a little bit too quick with the finish.
Yeah. With the t-shirt.
The t-shirt was thrown at him, and, Johnny Gargano really didn't get the t-shirt open to, make it clear to everyone, what t-shirt it was. We kind of figured with, it's a light blue t-shirt.
Yeah.
DIY had light blue t-shirts. But still.
I don't want every one of Gargano's moments to be DIY related until Ciampa comes back.
Because all that does is it's their way of hey, remember this thing? We're trying to keep it fresh in your mind so when Ciampa comes back, you won't forget about it.
And I get it, but also I need him to stand on his own as a wrestler.
Yes. I feel like that's more important right now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this was his first match.
This is his first match back.
Since that takeover. The tapings were tonight, which Joel alluded to with the Asuka thing. So I will see how it plays out from here on out. But ultimately, Andrade wins, which is a weird thing for me to say.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't win much. But now he's got...
but I will say, we had two matches that were not title matches on TakeOver, and they worked very hard in both cases to stand neck and neck, toe-to-toe with the title matches.
Right.
And so,
the other one being Aleister Black and Hideo Itami.
Yes. And that's something that, I normally compliment NXT on is their title matches feel a step above, they're a little more.
Right, because most of those matches have something beyond just those titles in the storyline.
Right. They're very well built to feel like these are just a little more important.
Sure.
But what's great about this takeover is that didn't feel any less.
Mm-hmm.
Those titles, the build-up still felt more important. They had the titles. Everything felt more important about those. And then these two matches, these two non-title matches, just came to play night of, which, I just want to pay compliment to.
Absolutely. So we got new tag team champions.
Yes.
Sanity beat Authors
of Pain. Which was a surprise.
It was. It made me more, out of everything that happened, it made me more suspicious of maybe Authors of Pain getting moved up. So far, nothing yet, obviously.
I don't know. Part of me doesn't feel like they're ready.
Right. But part of me was they've ran through everybody.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same problem as Asuka, but they were getting there,
Yeah. But they're also a very interesting, unique kind of thing where I can watch it, I can enjoy it, I can look forward to it on the next takeover.
Yeah.
But I can immediately feel I don't know where this fits into the main roster. I don't know who it goes to. I don't know where they would thrive.
Yeah.
And part of it is because what works so well is almost the absence of character that they have.
Yeah.
It feels like genuinely watching a brick wall fight.
Sure.
In both skill and brutality and personality.
It's the Brock Lesnar effect almost.
Yeah.
Because Brock Lesnar, he just has that one mode and crush things.
But Brock Lesnar still has an inherent attraction of superstardom.
Right.
Which comes from years of being a star.
Right, years of doing what Authors of Pain have started doing now.
Yes.
It's they're on that same path, essentially. Yeah. Also, I still don't like Sanity. I love Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is really good. I'm almost okay with Killian Dane.
I'm assuming Sanity's going to defend Freebird rules.
I guess. Like, otherwise, how do you explain why Eric Young just popped in?
New Day really kicked that door open. They are okay with three-person tag teams now.
Yeah, but I mean, they're the only teams that have really, you know, ran with it.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see.
I don't know.
I want to go to the NXT Championship match
real
quick, and then we'll save the women's for last.
Okay.
So, got a new NXT champion.
Yes.
Drew McIntyre won. I thought it was a pretty good match. One of the better matches of Bobby Roode's NXT run, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously skipping ahead, he debuted on SmackDown.
Yes.
And then, you know, I think he said in a post-match, or, you know, after SmackDown, he said that, you know, he has unfinished business with NXT. So, all that screams, you know, Bobby Roode got moved up quicker than they were expecting. Because they had already set up the whole storyline between he and Roderick Strong.
Yeah. I would say Bobby Roode's surprise debut, which genuinely felt like a surprise.
Yeah.
Even with him losing the title, like...
Mm-hmm. He expected, you know, he would get the rematch and tie, you know, loose ends with Roderick Strong.
And wasn't sure going, like, genuinely wasn't sure going into the weekend if he would, retain or not.
Yeah.
But all of the strap a rocket to Bobby Roode stuff combined with the just undeniable at this point burial of Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
I was like, I think Roode is being, if not outright just plucked and placed into him,
just kind of
is definitely being groomed to take over any plans they had for Baron Corbin.
Right. Yeah. Baron Corbin really didn't do himself any favors.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, I'm okay with sooner than later because, you know, we don't know how much more mileage is in.
I know. It's like.
In Bobby Roode's tank. He's what, 40?
Maybe. I mean, and it's that thing where we're excited that all these guys are finally, quote unquote, coming to WWE, but they are coming in the later half of their careers. AJ Styles is that way. Samoa Joe is that way. Where, I'm excited they're here, and I'm excited they're NXT because it's great content, but there's that part of me where it's like, we're on a clock, guys.
Yeah, sure.
Let's put these guys, I want them on Mania cards.
Yeah. So, again, like it's quicker than probably what they were planning, but, you know, strike where the fire's hot, you know. But then again, like, there's also still guys where that are, even on SmackDown, that are feeling like they're getting lost in the shuffle a little bit, you know? Like, where does this put Ty Dillinger or Mike Kanellis? You know, the Kanellises haven't been on SmackDown in like a month.
Yeah.
Don't know what in the world's going on with that. So it'll be interesting to see where all the, you know, cards fall. And again, like, Drew McIntyre is the NXT champion. Like, again, like, we can make all the 3MB jokes we want as far as, you know, they're all, you know, striking gold right now, except for Heath. but whole, like, the just the amazing trajectory that's been Drew McIntyre over the past couple years is unbelievable.
Well, and
same with gender, obviously.
This title feels well deserved, feels earned, I guess.
Yeah.
Feels
weirdly enough, it feels more earned than Jinder Mahal.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Is it a face heel thing? Probably not. But like Drew McIntyre, like he hustled his butt off in the Indies. And Jinder, as soon as he left WWE, you didn't really hear much about what he was up to.
No.
Maybe that's just because he was, you know, maybe going back up to Canada for those local promotions. I don't know. I legitimately have no idea what he was up to.
But yeah. I also trust the internet to keep tabs on these guys for me.
Right. And I was like, all right, well, his name will pop up.
Right.
It was some promotion. And I'm like, I didn't hear anything.
And the buzz became, hey, watch this guy, Drew McIntyre, because he's putting in the time. He's doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
His career isn't over yet. And now it's not.
Right.
Like, it's proven to be true.
Yeah. Now he really hustled his way through the Indies and came back in amazing shape. Like,
yeah.
I think it was... maybe you or whoever else, or Neil or something, whoever was there watching with us, mm-hmm. had something like, I don't remember him being that big, that yeah. tall or anything. Like, he really remember, got himself in good
shape. I don't remember
shape.
Him taking up that much of the ring. Taking him yeah. that, and his, I don't remember him physically demanding that much presence.
Yeah. And it works for him.
It does.
You know? Maybe he really was the chosen one. It may be.
Time will tell.
There was no time. Like, there was no timetable on this prophecy.
But, like, I.
If he ever comes in and, like, becomes, like, WWE or Universal Champion and Vince McMahon comes out, like, I told you so.
Do you think it, like, eats away at Vince at night that he. Not he didn't even just he was wrong. Like, his character was wrong. And he's like, no, I got to bring it back.
You know what? At this day and age, it wouldn't surprise me if something that seemingly just insignificant ate at Vince McMahon,
yeah.
you know?
Uh-huh.
Because at this point, like, you know, we've heard of all of his quirks and weird things that bugs him. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to find out if that actually did just eat away at his, you know, his pride.
Yeah.
I would like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, so then the last takeover match to talk about
was the takeover or the NXT Women's Championship.
Yes,
Asuka won.
Yes,
and you know one of the you know I think you're saying like the best women's match definitely of 2017.
Best women's match of the year, maybe best women's match that NXT has ever produced. Like you've got those Sasha Bailey, Sasha Becky.
That Sasha Bailey, Brooklyn won.
Like I. You know? It has competition.
Sure.
But going back and watching it for a second time, I was like, I don't know, man. I think...
Maybe I need to... Because I haven't rewatched any of these yet.
I think that this one impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the highlight of Asuka's title run for me.
Okay.
And at the same time... and obviously this won't come to pass now, but like watching that, this is the first time where Ember Moon put on a performance. I'm like, I am okay with mm-hmm. Ember Moon being the one to take this title from her. Yeah. She's obviously been groomed for that.
Right. And it was something that I now. And it's something that I thought was going to happen. I thought was probably should have already happened had Ember Moon not gotten injured.
Right.
So I thought for sure this is probably the moment where she does take it. And honestly, I would have been okay with it because this was, you know, her big proving match and she mm-hmm. proved herself, I think, worthy, just like you were saying. And then we find out later that Asuka broke her, what was it, her collarbone? Is that what I said?
I think it was her collarbone.
Broke her collarbone. She's going to be out for a couple months. Not terrible timetable. Unless she decides to get surgery and just, because it's probably better if she just, you know, get like a metal plate or something put in.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you break that collarbone, it's going to be incredibly easy to just re-break it.
Yeah.
So, I say it's worth just going ahead and getting it full on fixed now. Take a little extra time. And then
I don't
have to worry about it ever again.
I don't know medically what exactly happened to her.
Right, fair enough.
But part of me is like, so, like Wick said, it was announced.
I learned about collarbones through Tony Romo, because he broke it like so many times.
It was announced at tapings.
Yeah.
That she is relinquishing her mm-hmm. title. And that eats me up, I gotta say. Like, in all
honesty,
well,
they never said that it's... Well, they didn't say, like, because WWE actually acknowledged it and they posted an article about it. Didn't say it was anything about the injury. Mm-hmm. You know, they just like, she's relinquishing it. And I'm like, okay. Of course, we know that the real
like,
reason is the injury.
Yeah.
But they're not listing that on, like, officially.
I think it was one of Cena's rather long runs a while back that mm-hmm. got relinquished because of injury, too.
Yeah. And I think Randy won it shortly after.
I don't remember who won it, but, like, we were looking up statistics at, you know, once she won again. And so we're like, all right, so she's held it longer than any Intercontinental Championship reign ever.
Mm-hmm.
Longer than any other NXT title has ever been held by anybody.
Yeah.
Longer than any tag team title has ever been held.
Mm-hmm.
Longer than any modern WWE one.
Yeah.
Longer than the CM Punk one.
Yeah. He was 434.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a few from the era where titles were held for years, so like mm-hmm. Bruno, Hogan, and Bob Backlund hold longer title reigns,
sure.
I think.
Sure. Right.
But like longer than any reasonable person will ever hold the WWE title again. Mm-hmm. I think like Lex Luger held the USA title for like 28 days longer than hers.
Yeah.
And so that really bums me out. I was like, she's like this close to beating that.
Yeah.
And once she pinned Ember Moon, I was like, well, she's got that one beat. This is just a matter of time.
Right.
And they said 6 to 8 weeks. She'll be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there like, when's the next takeover? Like,
yeah.
It's definitely not 6 weeks away. Like, that's it. At the soonest, it'll be 6 weeks away.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them. I'm assuming they'll probably do one, I'm guessing, Survivor Series weekend.
Right.
And at the earliest.
I feel like she's not going to, you know, they're not going to have it lost in between then.
Yeah.
Because at this point, Asuka would definitely be losing that title at a takeover.
Right. Unless, again, like, unless she decided to take more time.
And, yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
And,
I mean, like,
and get like the metal
so,
plate or something.
And it's possible, and I don't want to be the person that's like, work through it, rush back, supersede
sure,
it up,
because
I want this. But I do say it eats at me, it bums me out a little that this title reign is ending on an injury relinquishment.
Right. Well, yeah. But it's one of those things where it's just like, the longer you have it, the bigger that risk is, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
as far as, like, possibilities.
And I'm not saying it needed to be beaten, but I also feel like you have the Undertaker mentality where, you know, records are made to be broken, streaks are made to be defeated, that kind of thing, because the second you have somebody beat Asuka,
yeah,
that's a feather in their cap.
Yeah.
Ember Moon or whoever you ended up having it.
Unless they wanted her to go to that main roster with that streak still intact.
And maybe. And part of it is she can. She can go to the main roster now undefeated.
Yeah.
Which they can tout.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
So, but it is a little bit of like, oh, man.
Sure. Absolutely. We would have rather, you know, I would have rather her been like the Paige situation where she's just like, I got two belts, guys. I can't have both. So here, take that one. You know, that kind of situation. I would have liked, you know, a little bit more of a, I don't know.
I mean, doing something like that. And again, this is dream scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Doing something like that, you can have her remain undefeated. You can have the title go on, sort of go around some NXT stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have people coming up from NXT chasing after Asuka.
I mean, that would be a great story for Ember.
I mean, Ember could easily come
especially
up.
Especially if Ember ends up winning the championship next, you know, now that it's been held in abeyance or whatever.
Yeah, and she can come up with a, you know, we weren't finished.
Sure.
Or you could have your next superstar, you know, who has won the title, come up being like, I've won the title, I've held it in NXT, but the true title is the defeat of Asuka, and I'm coming for you. And that could be pretty much anybody.
Right.
But that gets that storyline. So, yeah.
But it basically, if they do it right, it gives Ember Moon something to do the very moment she goes to the main roster.
It does.
Again, we're assuming that that's what Asuka's doing. So that covers TakeOver.
Yes.
SummerSlam itself. First off, I think match of the night goes to a match that was on the kickoff show.
The Usos?
Yeah.
Best kickover show.
Kickoff
show, sorry. Best kickoff
kickover show.
Kickover
show, too.
Yeah. Best kickoff show ever, I think. Best kickoff show match ever.
Again, there was another, I think it was like a kickoff show way back when, I think it was a Money in the Bank kickoff show where it was another tag team match with Usos and in the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
That really was good. But I other than that, there's not really anything that comes to mind.
This is a thing that honors the original promise of the kickoff show,
right,
which was back before the network where we were getting the whole thing.
And it wouldn't surprise me that if, you know, they finding out that they're on the kickoff show just pissed them all off enough to where they're like, all right, we'll show you.
Well, and it gave them time that they admittedly would not have gotten
right
on the main card.
Absolutely.
But if you remember when these started, it was basically like the promise of, we're giving you a pay-per-view match for free.
Sure.
And they're like, all right, let's do it. Oh, you're giving me that one. You're giving me the crap match.
You're giving me Miz Taraj versus the Hardys and Jason Jordan.
Right.
You know, which played in front of like 50 people, I think.
Well, and they've said that, or it's come out later, I guess. That was an issue with the doors. The doors did not open.
Because we also ran into that issue, what was it, WrestleMania 32, the one in Dallas.
Doors opened at start time instead of before start time, so people could actually be in their seats ready for the thing.
Yeah.
But
again, when you have a kickoff show and you've started that early, you're running into issues like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Usos ended up winning the championships back. But again, it was a instant classic, and it was one of those things where it's like, we know how great of a mouthpiece Xavier Woods is, but man, I feel like we missed out on a lot of in-ring potential.
Yeah,
you know, that we're just now seeing on our TVs.
Yeah,
so yeah, it was good to see him really cut loose again, because they're doing it more and more.
And it's the kind of thing where, you know, come No Mercy, come Hell in a Cell, I'm going to be sure to watch the kickoff show, which I haven't.
Again, it depends on what the match is.
It does, but it has that thing, that reminder of like, oh, there is potential for greatness.
Right.
Just because WWE is casting this match aside doesn't mean the talent isn't on the show and can't pull something out.
Sure, no, absolutely.
So, main show stuff.
We'll start off the show with, you know, Baron Corbin getting buried.
Yeah.
Cena
gets his first win in 7 years
on SummerSlam. Yeah.
Which bums me out, and I will tell you why. So, the last time Cena won a SummerSlam match, and
Nexus.
I think so. It's like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Nexus.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere the same. Yeah.
Which, as we all know, was an agreed upon terrible decision that he would super Cena through two guys beating Wade Barrett and Justin Gabriel at the end.
Yeah.
Cena has, you know, admitted later, oh no, he shouldn't have won. Nexus should have gone over. That was,
yeah.
And Nexus was never quite the same. Like, Nexus never fully came back.
That was one of the major, you know,
That was the first stumbling block.
Right. That and the fact that match wasn't happening at, you know, Survivor Series.
It was a Survivor Series match. And here's the thing. It was genuinely, like, go back on, it was a genuinely great match.
Yeah.
A lot of guys looked really, a lot of really young guys, you know, fairly green guys looked really great
and
in
you had
that
the
match.
Return, you had the return of Daniel Bryan, you know.
But Cena has lost every match since then. If he had lost this year, it would have been his 7th loss in a row, which would have been one loss for every member of Nexus he buried.
Right.
Which would have had some nice poetic just a little bit of like the curse of the Nexus.
Yeah, but going with it. That last one that he actually won was a big old middle finger from from Vinnie Mac himself.
So, like, I feel if Baron
I think someone had, because I don't think Vince had noticed, and someone pointed it out to him. I think that's what happened.
See.
He's like, all right, Barry Corbin, you said horrible things on Twitter.
I think Baron Corbin was a big old jerk on Twitter and had to get punished, so he took that away from me too. Thanks, Baron Corbin.
There you go. Ultimate heel. And, you know, moving forward a little bit now, Cena is using his free agent card and going to Raw.
You can't see it, but I'm rolling my eyes.
I know. I'm sorry. And going up against Roman? I thought that they were... That's a WrestleMania?
Okay. I mean, yes, but they also finally did the Shield triple threat at, like, a battleground.
True, true.
So, like...
True. So...
They don't know what they have.
Yeah. No, you're right. Oh, God. That probably means we're going to get Nakamura versus AJ at, like, Hell in a Cell or something.
Yep.
Gross.
Hell in a Cell kickoff show. Nakamura versus AJ.
Oh, man. No. Wait. I take it back. Nakamura versus AJ in the go-home show before Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
There you go.
I mean, this is also, with him going against Cena now and with Brock retaining, it's starting to look a lot more like the Brock Roman main event of WrestleMania is back on the table.
Yeah. And honestly, I never really doubted that it wasn't. Even if Brock was going to go to UFC, he's not probably now. But even if had he not, I still could see them doing a story of like Brock's coming back because I'm assuming Roman's going to be the champion at the time, and he challenges, you know, Roman for the championship at WrestleMania because, you know, he still has yet to beat Brock. And then ultimately, you know, Roman going over and Brock riding off the sunset.
Yeah.
But John Jones tested positive for, was it HGH?
I don't remember.
But some sort of banned substance.
Something that wasn't a tainted supplement.
No. Uh-huh. No, it was not. And he's probably going to be facing a 4-year UFC ban. And he was going to be the guy that Brock Lesnar came back to UFC for.
I will say, not to get too far off of wrestling, because we still have a bunch to go through.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, this podcast was going to run long. This episode was going to run long.
We're just hitting major points as we get to them.
But with the John Jones thing,
It's got to be one of the biggest, like, disappointing, like, just wastes of talent.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who just couldn't get out of his own way.
Well, yeah, and it's the kind of thing where, like, I feel like I was robbed of the DC Jones match. I feel like that has been the promise, the mountaintop, to see these two guys go at it, to see which one could best which one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'll never get that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they, 4 years from now, do it again and Jones wins, like, no, probably dope. Like...
Yeah.
What am I supposed to get?
Because it almost took away the one that we just got. It's like, oh, because that's the one where you tested positive because it was from a test before the match.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I feel like I was like, okay, well, now that win feels cheap, so maybe DC is better, you know, or whatever. Like, you know, but definitely the last one that we got feels tainted, you know. So
I mean, it is without a question for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just... There's no point in arguing that John Jones might be better because he has gone out of his way to make it impossible to tell.
Yeah.
And part of it's like, he took that from me.
Yeah.
He took that from DC. DC has one guy left, one mountain left to climb, one guy left to beat so he can retire.
Yeah, because he's not getting any younger himself.
And
he's beating everybody else.
And John Jones took that away. Like, let's throw down. Like the end of Fast and the Furious 6, where they're like, one more time, you and me, one street race, we gotta see who's faster.
Yeah.
Just for us. And I'm like, I just want that for these two guys. Just,
yeah.
Let's just see who's better.
Yeah.
And you can't. You took it from me.
Yeah. Damn you, you dead Paul Walker.
Not Paul Walker. Fast and Furious 6, which is before that. You're thinking of Fast and the Furious 7.
Yeah, I lost count on what's what.
Pay attention.
Sorry.
Try and keep up.
Sorry.
It's just Furious 7, technically.
Yeah.
Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6, Furious 7.
And then Fate.
And then Fate of Furious.
Fine. So now, like, because once we found out about the John Jones positive test, I have a feeling they probably, WWE probably got word of that before everyone else did.
It's possible. I don't know. That feels like a weird legal situation where, like, what's it, USDA does the tests?
Right.
I feel like they're legally bound to, like, notify UFC once they know.
Unless this was some sort of big joint promotion thing like they did with last time Brock Lesnar went to UFC. Unless this was a big joint, you know, venture going forward, and UFC and WWE working together both found out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was made public, I believe, by TMZ.
It was, and
so there's no telling.
TMZ has broken a lot of UFC stories as of late, so they clearly have a deal with UFC or have some sort of inside.
So there's no telling on how much sooner before that UFC and WWE knew.
Right.
So, I mean, it was what, the day after?
I don't remember exactly when. But the thing is, Brock follows the money, and I think UFC is going to pay a lot less for him to come back and fight not Jones.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So, he's better off sitting at home with his WWE contract.
I guess.
You know?
But going back to wrestling.
And then moving forward, because Braun Strowman versus Brock for the Universal Championship.
Yeah. Well, no mercy. And so we have this match. We have this fatal four-way.
Yeah.
Which probably match of the night.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
I mean, the biggest thing is this match...
It was just car wreck after car wreck.
It ended up being everything that it promised it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It lived up to its potential of, let's put four giant guys in the ring and let them punch each other.
Strowman was just amazing.
Strowman came out of this match smelling like a rose.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he lost technically, but not from what I was looking at.
No. So, and I think this is very possible.
Because,
like, you know, careers are long and finicky.
Because wasn't the original plan Strowman versus Brock just one-on-one? Like, months before SummerSlam?
Maybe at some point.
Yeah. And now I'm kind of wishing that it was. But, I mean, we're getting that.
Yeah, we'll get that. Don't worry.
We'll get that next pay-per-view. But, man, yeah, he looked like... It was basically his and Samoa Joe's show, essentially. You know, Brock, they did the stretcher
mm-hmm.
thing, which I don't believe they've ever done for Brock.
Not for Brock.
I know that they were trying to take him from that Royal Rumble match where he legitimately broke ribs.
Yeah.
But really, just ultimately, he just laid on the ground for a while. And then, you know, Roman played his part, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything that's insulting, because I legitimately, like, all four guys I felt like brought something to this match that enhanced mm-hmm. this match in a great way. Clearly Braun Strowman was the workhorse in this match, you know, with a close second being Samoa Joe.
I don't know how close that second is.
Okay, maybe not that close of a second, but
like
a definite second.
Just Braun Strowman, this is very possible. This will be the match you look back on that's like, this is the one that made him.
Sure. It felt like a good just cap off Braun Strowman's 2017.
Well, and there's so many times where somebody is a big guy that, you know, rises through the ranks really quick, and you're like, oh, I'm a new top.
Right.
You know.
And almost rises too quickly.
Yeah.
You know.
The most recent example being the literal big guy, which was Ryback.
Yeah.
Where, like, he was...
But it wasn't all that quick, though.
But he was on fire.
As the Ryback character, yes.
Yeah. But he like, again, he was on fire. He had the chant. He had the Feed Me More.
And then
people were going nuts for him. There was a talk about ending Punk's title reign early that mm-hmm. October to just go and give it to Ryback because he was so over.
And then he lost at WrestleMania because Mark Henry fell on him.
And then
he turned heel the next night.
Yeah,
he
so
got
like
by Cena. Yeah,
there's people who can't maintain that momentum, and it's still up to see where if Braun Strowman can maintain this momentum.
Right. And again, like
but it's clear at this point he has the momentum.
Yeah,
I think there's no question about that anymore.
Absolutely, and I really love the growth and the steps he's made in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just the pinnacle.
Do we have a most improved classy?
Yeah, we do.
All right, there we go. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to really screw the pooch from this point to December for him not to get it.
Yeah.
100%. So, yeah. What else do we need to touch on? The WWE Championship match, Nakamura, and inmates. Oh, okay.
No, it didn't. You take that back.
I'm sorry, it was a straight up and down championship match where they didn't ban the Singh brothers. What did you think was going to happen?
It did not make sense.
I mean, they're going to be a factor. If they're not, then almost a wasted opportunity to, you know, gain heat on a heel. So, yeah, like, of course that was going to happen. There was no, and there's, you know, Baron Corbin already lost the briefcase.
I just, that
they're going to be in a Hell in a Cell match without the Singh brothers. And that's how Nakamura's going to show that he's the better wrestler.
Yeah, but I don't know. It, single finishers, which aren't things anymore.
But then again, I believe all of the matches he's won, that Jinder's won, has been off of a single finisher since he's been in the main event scene.
Which is I don't like.
It shows consistency. It builds his finisher.
But it's not a good finisher.
I'm not saying it's good or
like,
not. I'm agreeing. It's just a big, strong guy pulls the guy up and throws him down. Like, that's all it is.
And it's, okay, it's not.
But that's how you build it. Whether or not it's you think it's a good one or not, that's how you build it.
But see, I don't think the finisher is being well built. I think,
well, yeah, it's not because it's not being put over by like commentators or anything.
Right, it's not being put over by commentators. Mm-hmm. And then in the match, there's no build up. There's no
right
mat pounding. There's no point. There's no oh, here it comes.
And there's no like yeah. There's no build up to show that and it's a dangerous move. You know, by the other guy.
And like and the finisher itself is not being protected, I guess. It's the finish because the finisher always comes in combination with interference of the Singh brothers.
Right.
Which
maybe that's part of his finisher.
But again, like your finisher can't be tag in Big Cass.
Well, yeah. if this was WWE 2K18, which, you know, it's not because it looks like real life.
It's still 2017.
it looks too good for it to be the video game. If you hit triangle for signature, and the Singh brothers pop up, that's a signature, and then you follow it up with the finisher.
But it's not good,
right?
And the more Jinder Mahal is the champion, the more he is in these championship matches,
mm-hmm.
the more exposed he is, and the more clear it's becoming that he is not championship ready. He is not championship material.
But yeah, but it's a steep learning curve. I will say he's way better off now than he was when he first became champion. And I feel like he's come a long way in that short period of time. I'm not saying he's at the Nakamura level,
but
by any stretch.
To me,
still.
He's become not better mm-hmm. in the same, but he's just become more formulaic. So he has found the moves that mm-hmm. he is not as bad at, and he has stuck to those. And like people love to make fun of the five moves of Doom,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, Cena changes it up. Cena makes each match its match.
Sure.
Cena addresses different guys different ways. You know, big guys like Rusev get handled differently by Cena. There's a lot more lifting and grunting.
Not for Randy Orton.
Than Randy Orton. Well, that's the thing. Is like he doesn't. There's no like, oh, can he manage the, you know,
sure.
Fire Art Man carry, mm-hmm. but with Randy Orton, because of course he can. Randy Orton's skinny.
Yeah, right.
But he builds this move as like it's such a move that it can. And Jinder Mahal doesn't do that. Jinder mm-hmm. Mahal, this move, this move. This mm-hmm. move looks like this. This move looks like this.
Fair enough.
You're fighting the King of Strong style.
Yeah.
It's a style with its own name. It's clearly a different style.
Right.
And to not only not acknowledge that, but like to ignore it to the point of cookie cutter, paint by numbers repetitiveness
mm-hmm.
is very frustrating. And it cuts Nakamura off at the knees. And part of this is we had a bunch of Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of his title career has been against Randy Orton at this point.
Right.
And you had the Punjabi Prison match, which for all of its issues, for all of its flaws, mm-hmm. that match in particular, does force a different style of wrestling because there's a different goal. The goal is not a pin. The goal is a
escape.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yes. But in all these matches, I mean, I feel like you could cut and paste Jinder Mahal from any match and put him in another one, and mm-hmm. it would look the exact same. And so the fact that he fights the exact same match against Nakamura, who mm-hmm. is perhaps your most stylized, charismatic, different out-of-the-box, adjust-your-work to his work
mm-hmm.
guy on the roster, and the fact that it was Singh brother interference, exact same finisher, single finisher pin.
You're just not letting me get away with saying that Jinder Mahal looked better because he was going up against Nakamura. that's really like the core of what I was getting at, and you just wouldn't let it happen.
I don't think he did.
Fine.
That, I mean, and that's my issue.
Right.
Is he was going up
you
against Nakamura?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, going into the match, watching the entrances, I was like, this week on the podcast, I will, like, I would have bet you $1,000 that my thing would have been like, yeah, Jinder Mahal looks like he's improving, but Nakamura carried that match.
Right.
And it's almost like Nakamura wasn't given an opportunity to carry that match.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, we already kind of touched on it, but Randy Orton just buried Rusev.
Okay. Apparently, I'm fired up now. It was a very short match.
Yeah. And it was kind of explained or speculated that maybe that this is just, it's more of like kind of repairing Randy Orton after the whole Jinder Mahal storyline.
Yeah.
But leading to a much bigger storyline with him and Rusev, like leading towards like, you know, kind of a Rusev coming out, you know, explaining that it was a fluke and then whatever.
This is the type of match where I kind of want to take a step back and look at it and go, not every feud has to involve pay-per-views.
No.
You know what? Randy Orton and Rusev could have a fantastic match where the entire thing is built and goes through on the show. You have a couple of weeks of building it. You have some back and forth. You end this with a main event.
Yeah.
Of a SmackDown.
Yeah.
Give them a good, and maybe, you know, honestly, 20 minutes to end the thing.
And maybe we'll get that now that they're kind of pulling back on the pay-per-views, you know, this, because we're not going to get a SmackDown pay-per-view until October.
Right, which would be fantastic because this, I mean, this card was stuffed to the gills.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's the kind of thing where you're just like, it felt short, it felt unnecessary, it felt inconsequential.
Mm-hmm.
And you just think about like, if it was 4 minutes, it's like, man, I would have loved another 4 minutes of that main event. I was not done with that main event. And I get leaving wanting more, but another minute of that main event, get one extra spot. I would have loved that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same, God, Jinder Mahal and Nakamura could have definitely used some more time for some variety in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all kinds of, like, you could have spaced that out. Yeah. Anything else that felt rushed could have gotten a little bit more breathing room. It didn't, that match, SummerSlam did that feud no favors, and that feud added nothing to the SummerSlam match. That was good for nobody.
Yeah, you're right. And again, like, Rusev himself didn't need that coming off the heels of the flag match.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if their main concern was rebuilding up Randy, they could have put him up against anybody else, you know, and let Rusev either sit out SummerSlam and, you know, start fresh after the pay-per-view with a different feud or something. Or really anything else other than that, than what happened.
WWE has a big issue with that they have not built up anybody enough to eat several losses in a row. And they had that once upon a time. They had, like, I guess Triple H could eat, you know, 12 losses in a row and then goes away and the music hits and it's like, oh, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
They
had
Chris Jericho had that, but Chris Jericho squandered it putting everybody over.
Yeah.
Squander it might be strong, but like,
I would argue that they had that for a while with Bray, but now Bray is just, it's the Chris Jericho problem. Like, he's done it a little too much now.
And I think this is more of an issue with the fact that you have 5 to 11 hours of wrestling every week.
Sure.
Where it's just you put more people on cards.
Yeah.
It means there are more people losing.
Sure. Absolutely. Is there anything else from SummerSlam that
needs to be covered?
Yeah. New tag team champions on the Raw side.
New tag team champions. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt had a good match. Balor's makeup stayed on really well.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to miss the demon as much, but as soon as he came up out of it, I was like, yeah, nah, this felt good. The match did feel like it ended quicker.
There was a guy watching with us who knew some wrestling, but like, he really hadn't watched anything other than like the snippets of wrestling he snuck as a kid in the Attitude Era. And watching with him was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This was a good show for him to come in on because there were a lot of good matches and there were a lot of good moments in a lot of matches.
Sure, yeah.
But I noticed how many times I would lean over and be like, this guy's got a great entrance.
Right.
Which I hadn't noticed, like, on the whole, but there's a lot of really good entrances right now. Like, yeah. The art of entrance, they've really got that down.
Yeah.
Just because, and I thought of that, leaning over to be like, Finn Balor's coming out, that's a really good entrance. But then Bray Wyatt came out first, I'm like, that's a really good entrance. Like, these two really good entrances going up against each other.
And, like, I like Jinder's, like, the slow carpet rollout.
I do like his entrance. I will give him that.
Everybody's got a really good entrance except for Randy Orton's snake.
Yeah, that's not great.
No.
But we haven't seen that.
They've been using the snake more lately.
Okay, but that we don't get that, like, aerial thing to watch it walk
right.
down.
Right, and
he like, look at this graphic we made.
And look at this glitchy snake that's paused. Mm-hmm. Now it's and it catches up, you know. It rubber bands a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else from SummerSlam.
I mean, those are the big highlights.
Yeah, the big points.
No.
Raw. What was the? I know.
I mean, your big official thing is that No Mercy will be, Brock and Braun.
Yeah, and then like I know Kurt Angle had a surprise. I can't remember what that surprise was. I'm totally blanking out.
I don't know.
So he came out to announce something, and then that other person came out, and I can't remember.
I literally have no idea what you're talking
about.
That
was. Because he, like, it was the thing where he tweeted, like, I've got a big surprise for Raw, and he came out, everyone, you suck. And then music went out, and he's like, and this person, and they came out, and I don't remember who it was.
This must have been a bathroom break for me. I don't remember this at all.
It's gonna bug me. The bigger surprises was on SmackDown.
Yes,
with Bobby Roode, and then announcing Shelton Benjamin to be Chad Gable's tag team partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of people speculating that Shelton's gonna like immediately turn on Chad.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, just like his reaction to you know Chad's enthusiasm and everything.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of people thinking.
How immediate is immediate?
Like, people were saying, like, as soon as they're in their first match
with
each other,
all right,
he's going to turn or something's going to go south. And honestly, I would be okay with that because that would give Chad Gable, like, his first significant singles feud.
Yeah.
You know, with a returning, you know, Shelton Benjamin, you know, it's not a slouch.
No, it's not.
And, you know, I always like Shelton a little bit more as a heel anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, as amazing as he is, but, you know, he's still a great heel.
Yeah.
So... That'll be good.
Okay.
And I think that's
it. Those are the big ones.
Yeah. Because we kind of covered the big points of Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
As we went along.
Yes.
Yeah. Beach balls.
In conclusion,
beach balls.
All right.
Yeah.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, appropriate Sundays, etc.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments... anything that you want to bounce around to us like a beach ball, send that to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
You get one more.
One more? Okay.
As we are also on iTunes,
yes,
easy way to follow us. Give us a rating of
5 beach balls.
That's the one. or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.